Will everyone in the Missouri Senate please rise for the prayer by our chaplain, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag.
Samuel Johnson wrote, "Curiosity is one of the permanent and certain characteristics of a vigorous mind." Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you have instilled in us a sense of curiosity, which allows us to appreciate the vastness of the cosmos and the suddenness of a column of figures. We appreciate all about us, for they foster a harmony among its citizens and helps us manage the human forces about us. In your holy name we pray, amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Brown, here. Callahan, here. Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, here. Curls, Dempsey, here. Dixon, Engler, here. Goodman, here. Green, Justice, Keviny, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Pergeson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
Senator from the 10th. A quorum is present. The Senate is in session. Read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, second regular session, third.
Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though having been fully read.
You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion as shall prevail, say aye. Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Reading is dispensed with. Introduction of guests. Senator from Johnson.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I have some special guests. They are target bankers from all across the state. And so I'd like to introduce them. Greg Gagnon from Central Bank, Lake of the Ozarks. Bob Hoff from Central Bank, Lake of the Ozarks. And Lori, Brad Williams and Debbie Hudson from Heritage State Bank in Lamar. Bill Dana with Central Bank of Kansas City. And John Houston and Barry Randolph with Wood and Houston Bank in Marshall.
Let's welcome the guests of the Senator from Johnson, who are bankers from across the state. Senator from the first.
Thank you, Mr. President. On my left and your right, sitting on the bench, we have a great-looking group of students from the First District, Providence Classical Christian Academy, where my son Mitchell and daughter Anna attended. And with them today, they have their headmaster, Todd Wagenmaker, and then their teacher, Sue Van Hornbeek. And then a couple of parents also joining us today. They come up every year, Mr. President, and they actually write a piece of legislation, and then we have a mock hearing on that legislation. And a couple of years ago, they brought an idea to me that the bill didn't make it through the process, but it was introduced, and some policy was changed because of that bill. And I'm very proud of these young people, and this is my favorite school in the First District, Providence Classical Christian Academy, if we could make them feel welcome.
Would everyone in the Missouri Senate please make the guests of the Senator from the First feel welcome to the Missouri Senate. Senator from the 11th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Madam President, introduction of a distinguished guest.
Proceed.
Madam President, it is our honor in the Missouri Senate today to have Connie Rasberger from Independence, Missouri. She is the Miss Missouri Nursing Home Queen of 2011. And this is an incredible accomplishment considering that she's only 39 years old. So I would ask that the body make her feel welcome, Connie Rasperger.
Would everyone in the Missouri Senate please assist the guests of the Senator from the 11th to celebrate yet another 39th birthday? Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Madam President. We've got some very special guests here today. On my right and your left is Dr. Kristen Soule, and she is here with 50 residents in training from the University of Missouri, and they're with the CARE program, which is Community Advocacy Through Resident Education. And this is a program where the residents get involved. They learn about the legislature. They learn how law affects the practice of medicine. It's a great program. We've got a bunch of pediatricians here today. It's a great group, and I'd ask the body to make them feel welcome.
Would everyone in the Missouri Senate please welcome the guests of the Senator from Boone. Senator from the 4th.
Thank you, Madam President. To your right and to my left, we have a delegation from the country of Turkey. We have three members of parliament, Mr. Mehmet Erdogan, Mr. Ibrahim Korkmaz, Mr. Ander Motley. We have Aidan Denachi, who's the executive director of the Niagara Foundation. And we have two professors from the University of Missouri, Professor Mustafa Sir and Mehmet Kaveci. And I would like for the Senate to give them a very warm welcome.
Dobro jutro. Welcome. Yes, the Senator from the 4th. Senator from the 7th.
Thank you, Madam President. I have some special guests with us today. Continuing with some of our doctors right over here at this wall, we have Dr. Timothy Jennings, Dr. Mark Pelican, Dr. Anthony D'Angelo, and also a student who is on his way to be a doctor, Nicholas Sarkadis, and he is also serving in the Army. Please make them welcome with me today.
Would everyone in the Missouri Senate please assist in welcoming the guests from the Senator from the 7th. Senator from the 16th.
Madam President, I'd like to introduce some very special guests today. Some of them may be in the chamber, some may not, but out in the rotunda is a group of people representing Rolla Day at the Capitol. We have our Chamber of Commerce, our law enforcement, people representing the university, a lot of our high-tech businesses in Rolla. One of our bylines is Rolla Engineered for Business. And so please go by, say hello, thank them, and they have a few little goodies for you as well. I'll use my prop at this point. Thank you very much. Please make them feel welcome.
Would all the senators please welcome the guests of the Senator from the 16th to the Missouri Capitol. Further introduction of guests. Seeing none. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances. Resolutions. Concurrent resolutions. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Madam President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business. Senate bills for perfection, the informal calendar, Senate Bill 635.
Senate bills for perfection, informal calendar, Senate Bill 635. Senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that Senate Bill 635 with Senate Committee substitute be taken up for perfection.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Johnson that Senate Bill 635 be brought before the body for perfection. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill's before the body.
Thank you, Madam President. I now move that the Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 635 be adopted. 635 is a piece of proactive legislation that will help our banks in the state of Missouri. Currently, there's a number of stipulations as far as what will satisfy for letters of credit for pledged securities that banks have. And what this basically does, it just makes sure that in case that there would be a downgrade of our United States securities, that letters of credit with the Federal Home Loan Bank would still be used as pledge of securities. A lot of our community banks use this as a source of funds, and this would be something that would help our banks in the states. Passed our committee unanimously. This similar bill passed in the House 154-0. And so I'd like to talk about this bill. If not, I renew my motion.
The senator from Johnson has moved for the adoption of Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 635. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the first, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Madam President. If I could inquire the senator from Johnson.
Senator, do you yield?
I do.
He yields. Proceed.
So, Senator, thank you for yielding. As I look through your legislation, there's no new language going into statute. You're actually omitting something that's currently in law.
Could you repeat the first part of what you said? I couldn't hear what you said.
Or do I have not your substitute in front of me? Or what are we changing in current law, or are we adding something that's going to facilitate this for the bankers?
What we are doing is we want to make sure that letters of credit from the Federal Home Loan Bank will still be used as collateral for our banks, so we want to be sure that that is still able to be used for our community banks.
Okay, so what you're doing on page 2 then, is line 40, is you're bracketing out that one line?
Yes.
That's what how we're going to accomplish that?
Right.
Okay, all right. You know, Senator, I also got to talk to some of my bankers yesterday that were visiting the Capitol, and a great concern a lot of us have is the availability of capital.
Right.
You know, so that, you know, the banks can start loaning to small businesses and that help create jobs and grow jobs in Missouri. That's one of the things. Is this going to help towards that effort or?
It certainly will. And what would happen is if banks could not use Federal Home Loan Banks letters of credit, these banks would just have to stop making loans because they'd have to scramble to find other places for pledged securities and things like that. So it would put a real halt on loans, on demand and things like that for months until these banks could find alternative sources.
And this is a proactive measure you're doing here,
right,
just in case things do change at the federal level?
Right.
Yeah. Doesn't repeal Dodd-Frank, does it?
No, it doesn't. But I'll be honest, this is in reaction to that.
Sure.
Because that all trickles down to the state level.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Senator, for your
Thank
bill.
Thank you.
Appreciate the inquiry.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from Cape, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Madam President, to inquire the senator from Johnson.
Senator from Johnson, do you yield?
I do.
He yields. Proceed.
Thank you for yielding, Senator, and my questions are based on my ignorance, not trying to. What is a federal home loan bank?
Federal home loan bank, currently the Federal Home Loan Bank that Missouri uses is based out of Des Moines, Iowa. Federal Home Loan Bank is a quasi-public-private bank that basically issues money in the forms of CDs, bonds.
Freddie and Fannie?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
Are they set up by Freddie and Fannie?
There's no connection with them whatsoever.
Okay.
Primarily when banks need deposits so then they can loan money out, they have kind of two sources. They can have deposits into the bank, CDs, checking accounts, money markets, or another way of getting deposits is basically buying them or purchasing them from the Federal Home Loan Bank. Now, you don't have to do that, but it's a reliable source of funds, and it's a relatively cheap source of funds. You can also use the Federal Home Loan Bank for pledging securities. You know, if a bank has the local school district, they have their funds, or any public entities, you have to pledge securities, and there's a whole list of those in the state statute. Well, one could be that you use a letter of credit from the Federal Home Loan Bank that will satisfy those public entities for having pledged securities. So you can get that from the Federal Home Loan Bank as well.
Okay, and I understand letters of credit, and I understand all that, but I guess it makes me a little nervous when we used to say possessing the highest rating issued by at least one nationally recognized statistical rating agency. That would be Standard & Poor's. That would be
Moody's, Fitch.
Moody's, one of those.
Right.
So are we worried that our federal home loan banks are now going to be downgraded by Standard & Poor's and Moody and all of those like the federal government was? Or
I don't think
how does this help when we get rid of having the highest statistical rating. You know, I know the federal government has been downgraded from AAA.
Right.
You know,
right. By one.
So is this a ripple? Is this a ripple effect of this? Because, and this is just sheerly my
right,
ignorance.
Right.
Because if this is a Federal Home Loan Bank and it's like the federal government, so when the federal government got downgraded, did all of these Federal Home Loan Banks get downgraded? And now, if we have this language in here, because the federal government is now triple or double A plus instead of triple A, is the fear that we can never meet what is in state statute because the federal government was downgraded? This is my ignorance.
Right,
I
don't think that's the fear.
Okay.
I don't think that that's the problem that we're worried about. We just need to be sure that if the federal government is downgraded, that it doesn't hurt the federal home loan banks, because it is a separate entity for that. And it's a great source of funds for our banks, our lot of community banks to use.
Okay. And we're not worried at all that, you know, as I look at this, now a bank could use a letter of credit from a federal home loan bank that has a B rating? I mean, we're not worried about that? I mean, we're not worried about a minimal threshold of solvency or rating that these federal home loan banks have?
Well, this is not the rating is not done on the Federal Home Loan Bank. The ratings would be done on the U.S. credit rating. So it wouldn't be that these rating agencies are going to be doing the Federal Home Loan Bank. It's basically in response to the Dodd-Frank Act that it might not allow these letters of credit to be used as for pledged securities anymore by these banks.
Okay. And we have no concerns.
I really don't. Okay. Missouri.
I mean, I know you're a banker. I understand you have immeasurably more knowledge in this area than I do. I'm just looking at this as a layperson saying, you know, we used to have these minimal protections that it was going to be, you know, the highest rated issued. I haven't talked to anyone about this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry this is the first that I've seen this. It's just I'm trying to square this circle, if that makes sense.
Right.
And you're saying there's no concerns that by lowering or eliminating this requirement that any way, shape, or form that we're subjecting ourselves to possible default in the future or that this would have. I guess my simple question would be,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to wake up 10 years from now and somebody come out and say, because I voted for this bill, that's why we had to bail out this bank, or that's why we had all of these foreclosures. I mean, I don't know the answer to that, but I know a lot of people that thought they were voting for the right bills, mm-hmm. setting up Freddie and Fannie and allowing bundling.
Absolutely.
And I know this isn't all of that. I guess what I'm just trying to get from you are assurances that by getting rid of this protection, it looks like, a requirement that it have the highest level of rating by at least one of these recognized statistical rating agencies, that 10 years from now someone's not going to come back and say, hey, you caused this financial market meltdown.
Right. And you know, Senator, those are legitimate concerns. I think what we need to be sure is that we allow the banks the opportunity to be able to use these letters of credit, this pledged security, so they can make their loans, and so they have a secure source of funds when they're
getting it. But not if they're junk bond, you know? I mean, not if they're so unreliable. I mean, should we allow them to issue loans based on assets that may be junk bond rated?
Right.
That's where I'm trying to square this circle, and I apologize for catching you cold on this. I just saw this. Read it.
I think one thing that you might keep in mind is the ratings by Standard & Poor's, Fitch, Moody's, in some ways is rather subjective and can be political.
Okay.
And the day before Lehman Brothers went under, they were rated AAA.
Okay.
And so just because you have a high rating doesn't necessarily mean that everything is going well. Okay. And so what basically the statute says is if several of the, or if there are a downgrade of U.S. credit, then you can no longer use the Federal Home Loan Bank. Well, it's a subjective, it could be political, why those things are done, and also maybe not accurate. And so what that does, then, it jeopardizes the banks to be able to use the Federal Home Loan Bank for their source of funds.
And I appreciate that. I don't mean to belabor your bill. I take your word on all of that. I'm going to vote no. Okay. I don't completely understand it. When I don't understand something, it just seems a whole lot safer to vote no than yes. Okay. So I'm going to vote no. If somebody else wants to explain this to me, that's fine, but I appreciate the inquiry. I don't fully understand all of the ramifications that are going on because I'm ignorant to it. You're a banker. I trust you. I don't want to delay any of this stuff, so I'm just okay. Let it go forward, and if anyone else, by the time it's third read, wants to talk or have a better understanding of it, because I don't think there needs to be a lot of amendments. This is a pretty simple bill. You're either for it or against it.
Right.
You know, so I appreciate the inquiry, Senator.
Okay, thank you.
Senator from the 24th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Fire the Senator from the 31st.
Senator from the 31st, do you yield?
I do.
He yields. Proceed.
Thanks for the inquiry, Senator. I just want to, as a point of clarification and to maybe enhance it, to come to a better understanding, the banking system, as well as other aspects of there are other entities that have either in statute or have in strict policy, endowment policies. There are all kinds of rules that have been created over the years with this implied assumption that the government would always be AAA rated credit.
And that's right.
So there are, for example, there are money market funds that can only hold AAA rated credit. There are endowment cash reserves that can only hold AAA credit. And now that there's uncertainty surrounding whether or not, you know, AAA is a reality, and as the government itself loses its credit rating, and a lot of these government agencies are quasi-government agencies where, again, it's implicit that that they have the same credit backing of the Treasury. Federal Home Loan Bank is much closer to a standalone entity, so their implicit guarantee isn't so important to them. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were private companies that were treated by the public as having the government's backstop, and in actual reality, that's what happened. They failed, and the government stepped
right.
in for them. The reason, in my mind, the reason this bill is being put forward by these institutions is what they're trying to avoid is if there were to be a sudden downgrade, that by policy they would have to immediately disinvest themselves of certain securities, and in this case, they would no longer be allowed to use those securities as collateral in the function of extending credit. So if we ever get to the point where the ability of the federal government's the federal government's ability to repay its debts is seriously called into question by the market, and clearly the market doesn't think that yet. You'll see that when that comes, you'll see U.S. Treasury rates go up, you know, half a point a day for a while. What would happen if legislation like this didn't come to pass, and again, we've got other policies that are being changed all the time, is to avoid having to respond to an immediate sharp change in a short period of time.
Right.
So the concern would be if this goes into effect and suddenly all operations have to shut down immediately, and it would essentially the problem would build on itself. So if anything, what this does is if this downgrade becomes a reality, it gives the whole system an opportunity to stop and assess the situation. And to the Senator from CAPE, somebody decided to bail everybody out. You know, the system was failing and it was imploding, and there was two choices that could have been made, which was to let it implode or to bail out. You and I are on the same page. I would have just as soon see it implode. Voting for or voting against this, it won't. Somebody else will still have to decide. You bail out. This just does is it. It doesn't. This avoids creating an immediate chain reaction that would happen overnight if a big downgrade were to occur. The problem is still the same. If the markets call into question the ability of the federal government to repay its debt, well, then collateral that these other entities hold will be also called into question, too. So,
Senator, one thing is that Missouri is the only state that has something in their statute like this that would not allow Missouri to have these letters of credit from the Federal Home Loan Bank. So this is just something that was already existing in statute, so it's a cleanup because of that.
And right, it's just to give them a second to breathe if downgrades start to occur quickly and they don't have to respond immediately based upon the legislation. And again, in other instances, it's based upon written policy. So it's happening. This has happened all around the country. I didn't know specifically this, but in other forms where groups are mandated to do certain things under certain credit ratings, they've given themselves the flexibility at least to catch their breath before they have to do something.
Thanks
for the inquiry.
Senator from Nottoway, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Madam President. I'd seek unanimous consent to introduce some guests.
Hearing no objection.
Thank you, Madam President. In the upper gallery behind me are a group of students from Hamilton, Missouri. They've made the journey down here today to watch the legislative process in action. They are currently spending a few minutes in the Senate, and then they're going to head down and look at the chaos in the House. And so I would ask that my colleagues in the Senate please join me in welcoming this great group of students
from Hamilton,
Missouri.
Would all the students from Hamilton, Missouri, the guest of Senator from Nottoway, please rise and be recognized by the Missouri Senate. Hope you enjoy your day in the Capitol. Senator from the 9th, for what purpose do you seek recognition? Are you seeking unanimous consent to introduce special guests?
I am, Madam President.
Hearing no objection, proceed.
Madam President, to my right and to your left, I would like to introduce to the body a number of physicians, residents, and folks from Kansas City's Children's Mercy Hospital who are here in the Capitol today. I would love for the body to make them feel welcome.
Would all the guests of the Senator from the 9th please rise and be welcomed by the Missouri Senate. Thank you for the work you do. We are back on the motion from the Senator from Johnson. Does any other senator desire to be heard on the pending motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close on adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute.
I close.
Senator from Johnson has moved for the adoption of Senate Committee Substitute to Senate Bill 635. All those of the opinion that that motion shall prevail say aye. Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senate Committee Substitute is adopted. Senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Madam President. I now move that Senate Bill number 635, as amended, be declared perfected and order printed.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Johnson. All those of the opinion that that motion... Oh, I apologize. Any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close. Senator from Johnson has moved for that Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 635 be ordered, perfected, and ordered printed. All those of the opinion that that motion shall prevail say aye. Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Madam President. Without objection, I'd like to introduce a special guest.
Hearing no objection, proceed.
Thank you, Madam President. On my left and your right, I'd like to introduce Todd Scott's dad.
Well, would Todd Scott's dad please rise and be welcomed back to the Missouri Senate? Good to see you, Senator. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Madam President. We'll stay on that calendar, Senate Bill 569.
Senate Bill 569, Senator from Jackson.
Excuse me, Madam President, I move the Senate Bill 569 be called from the informal calendar for perfection.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from the 8th. All those of the opinion that that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill's before the body. Senator from the 8th.
Madam President, now I move the Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 569 be adopted. This is the bill that removes from the available days for election and modifies February to bond elections only. I know there's a couple senators that I believe have amendments, and I'd be glad to answer any questions.
The senator from the 8th has moved for the adoption of Senate Committee Substitute to Senate Bill 569. Does any senator desire to be heard on the pending motion? Senator from the 10th, you're the first person I saw seeking recognition. For what purpose do you seek recognition?
Madam President, I have an amendment.
Send your amendment forward.
Thank you, Madam President. I would request a waiver of its reading. It has been distributed.
Hearing no objection, the reading will be waived. Would you like
Thank
to move
you,
for the adoption of your amendment?
Madam President, I would move for adoption of my amendment. I have spoken to the bill's sponsor about this amendment to explain it to the body. In the Senate committee substitute that we have in front of us today, on page 1, on line 5 and 6, there is an exception that says that there can also be an election on any other day expressly provided by the city or county charter. But we found that when you turn the bill over on page 2, lines 22 through 24, section 4 says that no city or county shall adopt a charter or charter amendment which calls for elections to be held on dates other than those established in subsection 1 of this section. We think that created an inconsistency, and so we are just removing lines 22 through 24 on page 2. I would be happy to answer any questions, and I would renew my motion. And Madam President?
Senator?
May I inquire of the senator from the 8th?
Just one moment for procedure's sake. The senator from the 10th has moved for the adoption of Amendment Number 1 to Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 569. Does any senator desire to be heard? And, Senator, I believe you have requested...
I have requested. I'm going to sit back for just a second, though, and ask for that again after I allow one of my colleagues to introduce some special guests.
Very good. Senator from the First, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Madam President. If I could get unanimous consent to introduce some very special guests that are in the chamber.
Hearing no objection, proceed.
Thank you, Madam President. Thank you to the senator from the 10th. Up here in the upper gallery, we have big brothers and big sisters with us today. Stand up. And the Amachi group. And I would ask that our colleagues in the Senate make them feel very welcome to their capital today.
With the guests of the senator from the First, please rise and be welcome to the Missouri Senate. And thank you for all the good work that you do. We're back on the motion for the senator from the 10th. Senator from the 10th, I think you were seeking recognition.
I'm sorry. Madam President, thank you. I would request an inquiry with the senator from the 8th.
Senator from the 8th, do you yield?
I do.
He yields. Proceed.
Thanks, Senator. Yesterday, you very kindly listened to my discussion of what is in the subject of this amendment, and this amendment that I have circulated reflects that conversation, and I just wanted to make sure that you didn't have any questions or you're still okay with me.
I was getting up to speak in favor of the amendment. I think it cleans up the language in the statute, and I appreciate you for offering it.
Okay, thanks, Senator.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the motion of the senator from the 10th, senator from the 11th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
I was going to inquire, Madam President, of the senator from 10th, but I believe there might be somebody else who has guests, so I think I'll just sit down right now.
Thank you, Senator. Senator from the 18th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Madam President. I would like the body to welcome a group of Culver Stockton College students to our body today. They're just filing in and getting ready to sit down, and I know you'll probably ask them to stand back up, but they're from the political science department at Culver Stockton College. They've made the trip down here every year, and I'd like them to feel very welcome this year.
Would the guest of the senator from the 18th, the political science students from Culver Stockton University, please rise and be welcome to the Missouri Senate. We hope you enjoy your day. The rules of the Missouri Senate do not allow any flash photography to be taken while the Senate is in session. so please refrain from using your cameras that have flash attachments. Senator from the 14th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Yes, Madam President, I would like to get unanimous consent. Yes, today.
Hearing no objection, proceed.
Madam President, to my left, I have a very special guest. It is Tobias Gibson, a professor at Westminster College, former constituent of mine. Today, he has with him several of his students who also study political science.
Senator, may I inquire of you?
Yes.
Would you be interested to know that the presiding officer happened to attend Westminster College from time to time?
Oh, wow. That's pretty interesting.
Correct. Would the guests of the senator from the 14th please rise and be recognized, and welcome to the Missouri Senate. Senator from the 11th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
May I briefly inquire of the senator from the 10th?
Senator from the 10th, do you yield to a brief inquiry from the senator from the 11th?
I do.
She yields. Proceed.
Senator, do you know I had a very special guest in the chamber earlier this morning, one of my constituents.
Who is that?
Tom Hoppe resides in the southern part of my current district.
He came from, he lives in your district.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been introducing so many fabulous folks here today. I thought that Tom Hoppe.
Have you ever been to his home? Does he have a home? He's actually, I don't know if you knew this, Senator, but he's kind of concerned today because there's so many people in white coats walking around today.
I saw a nervous look in his eye, and I think we'll probably not see any more of him on the Senate floor today.
Anyway, Senator, I just wanted to clarify, this is a point, I know you never listen to my inquiries of other senators, but this is a point I wanted to clarify, that I talked to the senator from 8th about this, and on the first page, he brackets out February, but then there's also, or on another day, expressly provided by city or county charter. That's on line 5 and 6. What you're doing is, just so there's no lack of clarity, right?
Right.
On 2, you're removing that section, that nothing in this section prohibits a charter city or county from having a charter amendment that calls for elections on another day, right?
Actually, I'm removing the section that says no city or county shall adopt a charter or charter amendment which calls for elections to be held on dates other than those established in subsection 1.
So the City of Independence, technically, already has a charter. The first page would not affect Independence because they already have it.
That's
what
correct.
Your amendment does is, if there's some city that adopts a charter that wants to have a February primary,
right,
this would not preclude them.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. I wanted to clarify. Thank you.
Thank you,
Madam President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the motion from the senator from the 10th? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from the 10th has moved for adoption of Amendment Number 1 to Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 569. All those of the opinion of that motion shall prevail, say aye. Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The amendment is adopted. Does any other senator desire to be heard on the pending motion from the senator from the 8th, senator from the 14th? For what purpose do you seek recognition?
Madam President, I would like to inquire of the senator from the 8th.
I'm sorry, Senator, I didn't hear you.
Inquire of the senator from the 8th.
Senator from the 8th, do you yield?
I do.
He yields. Proceed.
So yesterday we were talking about your bill, and there are a couple of issues that I was concerned about, especially coming from the perspective of being a school board member. And I know that we are definitely getting into some tough times economically and serving on our finance committee on the school board. I recognize that there are certain challenges that we face without knowing where we're going to be in terms of funding, how much funding we're going to get from the state. So I talked to you about the ability to, in the case there's a financial hardship, school districts would not be limited on when they would have a maybe tax issue on the ballot. So you agreed to some language. I worked with your chief of staff and with our staff, and there's language that we agreed to. So
I appreciate working with you. Thank you for, I applaud you for your work in the schools and understanding that there are hardships, and I appreciate you working with me on this language to get something that we both can agree to, and I look forward to you offering your amendment, and I do speak in favor of your amendment. I think it's a good addition to the bill.
Thank you. Madam President.
Senator from the 14th.
An amendment.
Has your amendment been distributed?
Been distributed, and I see.
Send your amendment forward. Someone is speeding to your aid, so your amendment may be sent forward. Senator, did you ask for a waiver of the reading?
I asked for a waiver.
Hearing no objection, the reading will be waived. Senator from the 14th.
Well, as the senator from the 8th and I just discussed, there was a section of the bill that I was a little bit concerned about because we have been in some financial troubles as a state. We know and recognize that our foundation formula is not fully funded at this point. And added to that, there have been withholds from the state, which is causing a lot of burdens within our school districts across the state. So what I wanted to do is to offer an amendment that said when there is a financial hardship, and I define it, when there is a financial hardship due to 5% or greater decline per pupil state revenue to a school district, then it would be okay for that school district to go to their voters and seek some kind of way to increase revenue for that school district.
Senator, I don't believe that you have made the formal motion to adopt your amendment.
Oh, I apologize. I seek.
Senator, would you just like to move for the adoption of your amendment?
Adoption. Pardon.
Very good. Have you completed your explanation?
Yes, I have.
The senator from the 14th has moved for the adoption of Amendment Number 2 to Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 569. Does any senator desire to be heard on the pending motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Thank you. I close.
Senator from the 14th has renewed her motion for adoption of Amendment Number 2 to Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 569. All those of the opinion that that motion shall prevail say aye. Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The amendment is adopted. Does any other senator desire to be heard on the pending motion from the senator from the 8th? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close on adoption of the Senate committee substitute.
Madam President, I now move that Senate Bill 569 as amended be declared perfected in order printed.
Senator, I believe you need to move for the adoption of the Senate committee substitute as amended first.
I move for the adoption of the Senate committee substitute as adopted, as amended.
You've heard the motion of the senator from the 8th for the adoption of the Senate committee substitute as amended. All those of the opinion that that motion shall prevail say aye. Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate committee substitute is adopted. Now, Senator from the 8th.
Thank you, Madam President. Now I move that Senate Bill 569 as amended be declared perfected and ordered printed.
You've heard the motion from the senator from the 8th. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from the 8th has renewed his motion that Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 569 be declared perfected and ordered printed. All those of the opinion that that motion shall prevail say aye. Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Madam President. Same calendar, Senate Bill 722.
Senate Bill 722, Senator from the 24th, is fast approaching his desk.
Madam President,
Senator from
if you'd like to recognize my esteemed colleague, like, it's fine too.
Are you yielding the floor to the senator from the 16th? Senator from the 16th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Seek unanimous consent to introduce very special guests, Madam President.
Hearing no objection, proceed.
Thank you, and thank you to my colleague. Here in the back gallery today, we have the United Methodist Women's 2012 Legislative Training Group, and They're here to look out and promote and protect women, youth, and children, and they support and promote legislation that seeks to do that. I would like to introduce from Rolla, Missouri, Fayette Stewart, Barbara Crowell, Eleanor Marriott from St. James, Missouri, Fran Green, Carla Music, and Amy Turner. Please make them feel welcome.
Would the guests of the Senator from the 16th please rise and be welcomed to the Missouri Senate? We hope you enjoy your day. Senator from Boone, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Seek unanimous consent to introduce some very special guests.
Hearing no objection, proceed.
Thank you, Madam President. On my right and on your left, we've got 13 students from Randolph County. They're with the Excel program, which is a youth leadership program with Extension. They're here with Dr. Tom Furman, who's the County Program Director for Randolph County. They're here learning about state government. I'd ask the body make them feel welcome.
Well, Senator from Boone, before we do that, may I inquire of you?
Absolutely, Madam
Are
President.
You aware that I went to Moberly High School?
I am aware of that.
How about that?
I am
Look where that can lead.
When I go up to Moberly, they tell me that all the time.
Don't let it scare you. Would all the guests of the Senator from Boone please rise and be welcome to the Missouri Senate? We hope you enjoy your day. Now, Senator from the 24th.
I ask that Senate Bill 722 be brought up for perfection.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from the 24th. All those of the opinion that that motion shall prevail, say aye. Those opposed, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill's before the body. Senator from the 24th.
That the Senate Committee Sub for Senate Bill 722 be adopted.
Would you like to explain your Senate Committee substitute?
Certainly. In the original bill, we set a penalty of the higher of $250,000 or twice the value of the underlying contract. We've changed that to just the simple penalty of $250,000. And we've also we've created a threshold of a contract that is being considered has to be $1 million or higher. That's the majority of what went on the Senate Committee substitute.
The Senator from the 24th has moved for the adoption of Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 722. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 13th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire the Senator from the 24th.
Senator from the 24th, do you yield? He yields. Proceed.
My questions are because I do not have knowledge in this area, but are we getting into something the federal government or the U.S. Department of Trade and Commerce should be dealing with as opposed to the state of Missouri?
That's a good question. Actually, what Congress has seen fit to do in 2010 is to pass legislation that's a comprehensive Iran Sanctions Disinvestment and Accountability Act. And what this did explicitly is it authorized states and local governments to adopt and enforce measures to give the mechanism by which state and local governments could actually also apply economic sanctions. It amended the Investment Company Act of 1940 to shield unregistered investment company from criminal, civil, criminal, or administrative suits as a result of this action. So essentially, up until 2010, the state and local governments couldn't enter into this type of proceeding. And with the passage of this law, now they have the mechanism to do it. The state of California, the state has passed this legislation in a form. Our form is a little bit softer. The state of Florida has passed the legislation, and the General Assembly of the state of New York is considering it now. We'd be the third state to actually adopt it, the fourth state to consider it.
Is it just Iran?
It's just Iran.
Other volatile countries?
It's just Iran.
So that was passed narrowly in 2010 and became law. I've just never seen this. I've seen us pass
right.
resolutions
right.
to make statements to our congressional delegation or to make statements to the U.S. Department of Treasury or
right.
U.S. Department of Commerce. I've never seen us put something in state law.
This is the first chance. I mean, this is this bill, when it passed in Congress, when the act passed in Congress, the House vote was like 410-12. And I think there were 10 people didn't vote. So this was the first time that the federal government saw fit to give an avenue for the states to pursue sanctions.
Who will enforce this state statute for the state of Missouri? Will it be the Department of Economic Development? Do we need to state that in the bill?
No, actually, what happens is if a vendor contracts with an agency and the agency comes to suspect that the vendor actually, well, first of all, the way it works is a vendor self-certifies. They describe themselves as being an entity that doesn't do more than $20 million of business in the Iranian energy sector. So I'm the vendor, I bid on the government contract, has to be a $1 million contract, I win the contract, I've already self-certified that I don't engage in this type of activity in Iran. If the agency comes to suspect, for whatever reason, that that this vendor is engaged in that activity, then the agency alerts the Attorney General's office to then interface with the vendor. The penalty is, as described, is a $250,000 penalty, but then the contract itself is immediately terminated. The vendor has the opportunity, they will receive written notification. I have an amendment to the committee substitute to introduce that one word, written. We had some good input this week from the governor's office about this bill, and we just wanted to make sure that it was explicit as to what happens, who's supposed to pursue it, what happens if you're the vendor who's been accused of now being someone that does business in Iran. The vendor receives written notification of, why it is that they're suspected to be engaged in this activity. And then the Attorney General office, essentially what they'll do is they'll alert the Justice Department they've entered into this proceeding.
Learn something new every day. I've just never seen this in my career.
It's just now happening. So 2010 is when the legislation first passed. And again, California, they have as you might imagine, all of us would have concern about, are we just creating more bureaucracy? Is we creating another hurdle for a vendor to have to leap over? And that's why I think of the versions that are out there, ours is probably the softest version. In California, for example, their penalty is twice the size of the contract. So if you're on a $5 million contract and suddenly it's found out that you violated this provision, then your fine would be $10 million. So my thought was here is what we're trying to do is we're trying to, put pressure on Iran, put pressure on companies not to do business in Iran. We're not in the business of creating, multi-million dollar fines. If in fact someone is engaged in this activity, it's a nominal fine, and then they have to terminate the contract.
Yep. You've answered my questions. I've just never seen this. I was very curious.
You answered the question
about Iran, because there are several other nations that you want to bring into question.
Yes.
But since it only went after Iran. So thank you for your inquiry.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on a motion of the senator from the 24th? Senator from the 4th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Fire the senator from the 24th.
Senator from the 24th, do you yield?
I do.
He yields. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. And again, this is new to me, so I want to walk through it a little bit with you.
Sure.
The scope of the bill is just the energy sector. Why are we just focused on energy? Why not all commercial dealings with Iran?
It's a good question. I mean, my understanding is the scope of the federal legislation, and I mean the focus is on that sector. I hadn't contemplated other areas. I think one of the challenges would be is that if you're a multi-international company and you're a vendor of the state of Missouri and you engage in, all kinds of business that your parent company might engage in all kinds of activities that you're completely unaware of, I think it might have just been, it's too far an avenue to pursue.
That's exactly the point that I'm going to get to. So if you want to keep going on that. For instance, and I don't know what energy companies do business in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine ELF, if there still is ELF around, ENI, the French, I would imagine they're in Iran. I don't know of any American
subsidiaries of French companies that do business in Missouri.
Yeah. But you talked about hoops. What's to stop a company that does business with Iran in France to move the oil from Iran to France and then from France to here?
Well, I think maybe another way to think about it, I mean, clearly, if somebody wants to avoid economic sanctions, they can avoid them. I mean, they'll create creative ways to avoid them. My hope would be that, we're the third or fourth state of the 50 states that get behind this idea, and then collectively we send a very strong message that we're in support of these sanctions. Clearly, I mean, how much business does Missouri engage in with companies that are doing business in the energy sector in Iran, maybe that there's only one or two at the most.
But that's my point. Maybe one or two, maybe all of them. Maybe Shell Oil's over there. And the state of Missouri has a big contract with Shell Oil to provide diesel fuel for their fleet or something. I don't know.
Well, we're going to, I mean, the other side of big multinational companies is when this becomes law and the vendor is asked to self-certify, they'll go to the big multinational legal counsel and say, here's the law that's now in California, Florida, New York, Missouri. Am I okay to self-certify as complying with this idea? So, you know, sure that it's a hoop, but it's you know, when you're a vendor and you apply for a contract, you know, you identify yourself, and there are all kinds of questions you're asked. One of these questions is, do you adhere to this sanction?
I understand where you're trying to go with it. I mean, the whole South Africa thing, that worked perfectly. But that was a lot more comprehensive than this. And, I mean, we prohibited American corporations from even making any investment there. And this is very narrowly focused.
And to the extent that the previous senator, you know, it's a new thing and was unaware that the state had a mechanism to pursue a sanction. And maybe if your thoughts here are that it needs to be more comprehensive, you know, we've designed the legislation to mirror what the other states have done and to take on the energy sector. And if we come back this time next year and Israel hasn't engaged in war with Iran, maybe we apply for, maybe it's such that the federal government will give us the ability to apply sanctions specific to other industries.
Well, you answered my question. I'm not comfortable with the bill yet. I'm not sure I'm going to support it yet, but thank you very much for the inquiry.
Thanks for the inquiry.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the pending motion? Senator from Cape, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Madam President, to inquire the senator from the 24th.
Senator from the 24th, do you yield? He yields. Proceed.
Thank you for yielding, Senator, and I appreciate you moving this legislation forward. What areas are you envisioning that this would affect? Because I would think it would affect many of our quasi-governmental entities like Emperors, Mosers, PSRS, and their investment protocols with firms that they may invest retirement accounts with. Is that the area
you know,
you're primarily
that's a,
focused
that's
on?
That's a thought, and I have not pursued that. I don't understand as well as you do the investment policies of those organizations specific to avoiding countries that are on, you know, terrorist lists and things like that. This comes at it much more from a true economic sanction. The fact that the Investment Company Act 1940 is in here it has to do with those financial institutions that lend money into Iran, not specific to the investments in Iran.
Okay. So your legislation is focused on those entities that we may bank with. But my scenario is simply this. We contract at Mosers, and I serve on Mosers' board with the senator from the 13th. We contract with a hedge fund company called Blackstone. And within Blackstone may or may not have investments with some of its hedge funds that may or may not have investment in Iran. We don't know that. We look at Blackstone and we say we like Blackstone. How far would this all ripple down?
To the best of my knowledge, this would not impact, you know, the deep dive that you're referring
okay.
to. This is explicitly doing, it's a financial institution that extends $20 million or more in credit to another person. If that person uses the credit to invest in the energy sector.
Okay.
So really it's bankers for energy sector companies.
Okay.
But you bring up a good point specific to your investments, and I do understand
that's what we ran into.
A desire for transparency. I understand a desire for transparency on investment committees, and I do think that it's very difficult for a group like Blackstone, especially when they go to a fund-to-funds model, to really truly know where that last, you know, allocation of that last fund manager is actually being invested.
Exactly.
But this is essentially the bankers of the people that bank the energy sector.
And I appreciate that, and I don't want to belabor your bill. and to keep it forward. But I would like to kind of shoot this over to the investment people at Emperors, at PSRS, and at Mosers. We have gone through this previously, actually, and the senator from the 13th, I think, will remember, Treasurer Steelman at the time wanted to do more of the terrorist watch list.
Right.
And we went completely full circle in all of that, and we found out that it was a great idea on the front side. We looked at it for about 5 years, and then we said, you know, this is wholly unworkable. And we rely so much on the federal government to tell us who is and who is not a terrorist organization. So I don't want to belabor your bill. I'm going to float it out there, and I think as it makes its way through the legislative process, I think it's a good idea. I don't want to do business with Iran, even if it costs us a couple percentage points or basis points.
It's funny. It's the same challenge. I know it's the same time we had this wave of avoiding investments in terrorist countries, or, you know, on the terrorist list.
Right.
Was this big push through religious organizations to do socially responsible investing, and they found it harder and harder to actually pursue that too, because the interconnectedness of all these companies. It's interesting what they've actually turned the tables, and what they've become shareholders and activist shareholders
right.
as a way to kind of push back on companies that are doing things they don't like.
And instead of just not even sending in your proxy, you know.
They're voting proxies now.
Right. And I do want everyone to know this is not unprecedented what you're doing. We did this in the state of Missouri during apartheid with South Africa. So we've already done similar things like this previously when we didn't want to do business with South African companies during the apartheid. So it's not wholly unique. We have done it, and I appreciate you putting this forward, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Senator from the 13th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Unanimous consent to introduce very special guests.
Hearing no objection, proceed.
In the rear upper gallery, we have students from Robinwood Elementary School. There's 48 students from the fourth grade. Up front here, we have three honorary pages, Natalie Moses, Tyler Jenkins, and Talissa Jones. I hope I did not beat that first name up too bad. I ask that the Senate make them feel welcome. They have come up here all 8 years. I've been in the Senate, the fourth grade from Robinwood. So would they please rise, and would the Missouri Senate please make them feel welcome?
Would the guests of the senator from the 13th please rise and be welcome to the Missouri Senate? Hope you enjoy your day. And Senator, the very able pages will be named as pages for the day to serve at your compensation, Senator. Now back on the motion, the Senator from the 24th, Senator from the 11th, for what purpose do you seek recognition? Senator from the 24th, do you yield?
Yep.
He yields. Proceed.
You referred in a couple of the inquiries to an act passed by U.S. Congress in 2010 that authorized states to pursue further sanctions, is that right, or at a
Correct.
State level? Okay. The language for your bill, and in the description, you have $1 million. Where did the, on page 2, on line 26, then again on line 32, where did the $20 million reference come from? You have $1 million, but then you have this reference. Where did that number come from?
Well, the $20 million refers to the amount of business that's being done in Iran, that you have to do at least $20 million in the energy sector in Iran.
Senator, what I'm asking is, where did that number come from? Is that what Congress, did that number come from the authority that Congress granted to the states to pursue these? What's the origin of $20 million?
I don't know. I don't know the origin. That's what the legislation, that was the
I mean, my only point is, I know it dealt with $1 million, but then I saw $20 million, which, if we're talking about Iran, just as an outsider, seemed like an incredibly high threshold of business. I mean, $20 million is a pretty large amount of business, at least to me. And I just was curious where that $20 million came from. And likewise, then on page 2, Line 32, where did the 45 days come from?
Again, it's what other states model legislation, what they passed.
Okay, so when you did this act, I don't have what California passed.
I'm sorry?
I don't have what California, you said, right? California passed this?
California and Florida and New York has introduced it.
California, New York, and Florida?
Yes.
Okay. And is this based on what they passed? Is that where those numbers came from?
Yeah.
Okay. So the federal act that you referred to in 2010, that didn't necessarily say...
Sorry, but the rules of the Missouri Senate do not allow flash photography while the Senate is in session, so please refrain from taking any photography with cameras that might flash. Now, Senator from the 11th, proceed.
Thank you, Madam President. Thank you for bringing order to the chamber. Okay, so I'm not going to get really hung up on it. I just was
actually
curious where those numbers came from.
You know, I have the act in front of me, and... You know, in just turning, there is, and I could give you a copy of the act, and in section 102 of the act, it sets that $20 million hurdle. But where I came up, we've got, there are groups that are anxious to see all these states adopt this, and they've brought this model legislation that mirrors what the other states have passed, and that's the genesis of it. But, you know, I can give you a copy of this, and it actually outlines some of those hurdles.
And then I heard your inquiry, Senator from 13th, did I hear you correctly that the federal act only has given this authority for states to pursue actions against Iran? That's why North Korea and other countries are not mentioned. Is that right? Okay. So that this was specifically passed for extending sanctions in addition to the federal Department of Treasury sanctions to the states was specifically for Iran only.
Correct. I mean, there was an act in 1996. It was the first Iranian Sanctions Act, and this is, you know, an extension of that.
Okay. And then I assume I actually went to the United States Department of Treasury Office of Foreign Assets Control, and in their act, that I assume this is a reference to what they passed in 1996. Did you happen to see the definition of Iran?
I did not.
Actually, it's kind of interesting. They have a whole section which takes up a whole page of very small print, said persons determined to be part of the government of Iran. So I guess as we pass these, you know, concerns about financial transactions in the energy sector, that I guess Iran goes by, has people out there operating that actually in the federal act they list. I assume you don't have to restate that, right? There's a list of like 2,000 names that under the federal code are persons determined to be part of the government of Iran. So I assume we all know what Iran means, right? I guess.
I hope.
Okay, so, all right. I assume you're okay by referring to the federal act.
Correct.
Then let me, one last thing on the Senator from Cape's point about our pension funds. The act only deals with, and it gets back to, I guess, what Congress authorized, investments dealing in the energy sector. Is that right?
Well, it's an institution that extends credit to someone, that extends at least $20 million in credit to someone who then does business in the energy sector.
So that could be a European bank, a multinational, right? Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes, it could be.
Okay. And so then your bill becomes law, and in theory, the state of Missouri, the Attorney General, could pursue an action against Bank Swiss?
No, it's to the extent that a bank engages in these activities and then turns around and becomes a vendor of the state for whatever reason, then that financial institution, for example, you could see a situation where there are financial institutions that administer our deferred compensation plan. You can see with that financial institution, if it's found, they have that contract to administer the state's deferred compensation plan,
if they're found to be a banker to an entity that does business in the energy sector in Iran, then that contract could be terminated.
Is there any kind of delineation between primary vendors, secondary vendors, ancillary vendors? I mean, because I guess in pension plans you could have multiple players at multiple levels, right?
Well, in one person starts that process. So you have one person that what you're suggesting is that the state enter into a contract with a provider, who that provider then in turn takes those monies and allocates it to multiple other sub-advisors, if you will. The contract with the state is with the primary provider, and then to the extent that the monies fall through to sub-advisors, you can terminate that first contract.
Okay. You have an amendment circulated that you referred to in writing. What's the significance of that?
This is a request of the governor's staff. Their concern was that it just wasn't clear that, you know, a vendor, like, they looked at the statute that's passed the federal act, and they were concerned themselves with the steps. You know, we debated if in writing need to be there, but now it's clear enough that if you're thought to be someone who's violating these sanctions, then you receive notification of that in writing, why you're suspected to be that person, to have done so.
Okay. Was that in the other state's legislation, the writing part, or was that?
I don't think so, no.
Okay. Alrighty. Alright, thank you for the inquiry, Senator.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the pending motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close on adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute.
I motion to adopt the Senate Committee Substitute.
Senator from the 24th has renewed his motion to adopt Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 722. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senate Committee Substitute is adopted, Senator from the 24th.
And I now have an amendment to be adopted. And it has been circulated.
Senator, I'm sorry, but you just made the motion for the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute, and that is your only opportunity to make amendments. We're now back on the adopted Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 722.
I mean, I have an amendment to the Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 722. Okay. Okay.
Senator, I do not believe procedurally that your motion is in order. We only have two options. We can either perfect, or you can make a motion to reconsider the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute. If you have an amendment...
Make a motion to reconsider the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute.
Okay. Senator, just so that you're aware, that will be a roll call vote. The senator from the 24th has moved to reconsider the vote by which Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 722 was adopted. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion?
Well, I'd like to be heard, so I apologize.
Senator from the 24th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
I ask my colleagues to have them do this. So.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the pending motion? Senator from the 23rd?
I inquire the senator from the 24th.
Senator from the 24th, do you yield?
Yep.
He yields. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator, for yielding. What's the amendment, I guess, that you need to offer?
The amendment is a two-word amendment. It's to insert the phrase in writing.
Okay. Can we fix it in the House?
You know, if that's an option, we'll fix it in the House.
I don't know how everybody wants to do, but that's fine with me.
All right. I withdraw my motion then.
Senator, the senator from the 24th had just stopped his inquiry. Senator from the 23rd had just ceased his inquiry. Now back to the senator from the 24th. Senator from the 24th, are you seeking to be recognized regarding the disposition of your motion?
I am.
And what is your motion?
To reconsider the motion. To withdraw my motion to reconsider.
Your motion is withdrawn. Now, we are back on the perfecting motion for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 722. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion, Senator from the 11th?
Or the Senator from 24th.
Senator from the 24th, do you yield?
I do yield.
He yields. Proceed.
Senator, I would have personally preferred that we reconsidered it, but that's no big deal. It's your bill. Do you kind of commit to your colleagues that we're going to, if we see this bill back, that we're going to see those two words?
With certainty.
Okay. I've never heard that from my colleagues about the House, but we'll see what happens. But anyway, I just hope that happens. So thank
Very
you.
Good.
Senator from the 24th, are you seeking recognition? The 23rd, are you seeking recognition? Senator from the 23rd, it is my understanding that you would be seeking unanimous consent for some law enforcement officers to enter the chamber.
Sure. Request unanimous consent to let two uniformed officers into the chamber.
You've heard the motion from the senator from the 23rd. The senator from the 23rd is seeking unanimous consent so that law enforcement officers carrying firearms may enter the chamber of the Missouri Senate. Hearing no objection, the officers may enter the chamber of the Missouri Senate with our gratitude and respect. Now, the senator from the 16th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Request unanimous consent to introduce very special guests, Madam President.
Hearing no objection, proceed.
I would like for everyone to look along the wall on my right, Madam President's left, and this is the Rolla contingent that's out in the rotunda today. We have Stevie Kearse, Amy Campbell, Carolyn Peplow, representing the Rolla Chamber of Commerce, better known as the Chamber Chicks. We have John Butts and Scott Grail from the city of Rolla. We have Lieutenant Rick Williams and Captain Jason Smith of the Rolla Police Department. Loretta Wallace, Doyle Edwards from Brewer Science, one of our high-tech businesses in Rolla, Missouri. Intercounty Electric, we have Tony Floyd, Karen McNew. And from Bot Radio, we have Sue Stoltz and Sarah Creech. Please make them feel welcome.
Would all the guests of the senator from the 16th please rise or wave to us and be welcome to the Missouri Senate. Thank you very much for visiting us. Now, we are back on the motion of the senator from the 24th on his perfecting motion that Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 722 be ordered perfected printed. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from the 24th has renewed his motion that Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 722 be ordered perfected and printed. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Madam President. Without objection, so we'll go to the order of business of Senate bills for perfection, the formal calendar.
Senate bills for perfection, the formal calendar. Senate Bill 607, Senator from Saline.
Senate Bill 607 be brought before the board, before the body for perfection.
You've heard the motion from the senator from Saline. All those of the opinion that that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill's before the body. Senator from Saline.
Madam President, I have a Senate substitute.
Send your Senate substitute forward. Has it been distributed?
It has been distributed. I ask for the reading, waiver of the reading and move for the adoption of the substitute.
Without objection, the reading of the Senate substitute will be waived. Senator, would you care to explain your Senate substitute?
Senate Bill 607, actually the only difference between the bill and the substitute is some technical language that MoDOT asked for in the regulation of outdoor advertising.
This is my last effort to move a outdoor advertising bill. We have taken all the municipalities out of it. I think we've satisfied the governor's with his, after his veto last year. We have one organization that's still opposed, and the only way they'd be satisfied if we eliminated all outdoor advertising signs. So be glad to answer any questions, Madam President.
A senator from Saline has moved for the adoption of Senate Substitute Senate Bill 607. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 13th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
For the 8th year in a row, to inquire the senator from Saline.
Senator from Saline, for the 8th year in a row, do you yield?
I am wonderfully glad to yield.
He is wonderfully glad to yield. Proceed.
Let's go through, because we passed this bill. You and I agreed to sit down last year. You dealt with my issues dealing with municipal governments. We passed a bill. Why did the governor veto that bill?
Well, he felt like you and I came to an agreement. Well, the body, the members, folks involved in this came to an agreement on municipalities. The governor did not read it the same way that we all agreed it said, and so he vetoed the bill for that reason. And so we have taken the municipalities totally out of this. It is so totally subjected to local ordinance, and I think that we have removed, I think we've gotten to the point where we have answered all objections.
Let's go. I'm going through this educationally, and I am not holding up your bill, but
no, I understand.
You know, this is it. But the reason we need this bill is that if future construction happens on our interstates, this will be the process of how MoDOT deals with owners of billboards.
Right. Under federal law, the MoDOT is not allowed to move a billboard that is out of compliance. And what this does is create a class of conforming out of standard. And it only applies during the construction period, and it allows MoDOT to move a non-conforming sign. Now, for the most part, the non-conforming signs are non-conforming because of a subsequent passage of a statute, the initiative petition, that said that you had to go to 1,400-foot spacings versus 500-foot spacings. And so every sign that's out of compliance, MoDOT would have to condemn and pay for. This allows them to move those signs, which has reduced the cost by about 75%.
Okay, so if I understand this correctly, there is, if they are out of compliance, MoDOT has to pay to relocate them.
No, if they're out of compliance, MoDOT has to condemn them. They have to buy that plus the present value of future earnings. So it's you're buying, it's just like condemning a business. You have to buy that business and with on outdoor advertising, you take the present value of future earnings. This just allows them to pay for moving the billboard.
But when we build highways, we also have to pay to relocate billboards.
Yes.
And why is it historically there is a federal law or a state law that says we are responsible once we eliminate an opportunity to generate revenues at a site due
right.
to an.
It's just like that billboard is a business. I mean that's an earning, and just like you would have to pay to move a convenience store, or you know you condemn a convenience store, or you condemn highway for eminent domain on land.
What if the billboard is not out of compliance due to the fact of the spacing between billboards from 500 feet to 1,400 feet. Say it's a dilapidated old billboard that still has the supports of old telephone poles. Do we have to relocate those poorly assembled billboards that are pretty much dilapidated and not taken care of? And
more than likely, it would be cheaper to condemn those than it would be to remove them.
To condemn them?
More than likely.
And we condemn them, but we have to pay for future possible revenues.
Well, if it's like you decide, that would be a very limited life of revenues. What it allows them to do is to go in and economically deal with billboards. And it's MoDOT's choice, and there has to be some place to move it to. You know, I mean, so.
What if there's no place to move it to?
Then they condemn them and pay for them.
And how is the payment amount determined?
It's determined the value of the sign plus future earnings. For the
how many of years of future earnings?
Depends on the sign. If it's one like you described, then you'd be very short period. If it's one of these that has a single pole and metal, it probably, I don't know what the...
Who determines what is future earnings? I think some of these older billboards are going to make a little hay, make some money off this.
Well, I mean, this bill does not change that. It reduces the liability in MoDOT's what it does.
What is the cost without this bill to MoDOT? What is the cost to MoDOT with this legislation?
That obviously depends on what which highway we're talking about. When we looked at I-70 back in 06, this one made a difference of from $60 to $120 million, depending on what path.
That's a lot of concrete.
Yeah.
A lot of concrete. All right, I'm going to inquire my other highway person in the Missouri Senate. Madam President.
Senator from the 13th.
Inquire the Senator from Cole.
Senator from Cole, do you yield for inquiry?
I wondered who the other highway person was. Yes,
Madam President. He yields. Proceed.
Well, I'm going to kind of pick your brain a little bit as a former commissioner. And you heard my inquiries to the senator from Saline.
I did.
As a former commissioner, do you have any idea or knowledge of the cost previously before this bill and the cost it'll be if we do not pass this bill? Because $120 million is a lot of concrete.
Yeah, like the senator from Saline said, the issue becomes on, you'd have to pick a project, really, before you could do that. So if I-70 was on the radar screen in some manner being rebuilt, then you could affix that number that you're looking for to it. But this is really a tool that MoDOT would like to have available in their toolbox when they do a corridor expansion like 70. So since it's not, doesn't have a project-specific area to assess a dollar to, it's a little bit hard to put that number on.
Who determines that dollar amount of future revenues when they make that settlement for a dilapidated billboard?
I believe it comes somewhat of a negotiated issue. You know what I'm saying? So like the senator said, you know, if it's one that you described, it's old telephone poles, it's fallen down. I mean, I think that they work with that owner to understand that this thing doesn't have much life left in it. Next windstorm might take it over versus one that has just been erected and it's obviously has a lot longer life to it.
Out of curiosity, do tractor trailers count as billboards when we're compensating individuals for old billboards? Because when you drive along 70, there's some old tractor trailers that have billboards painted on the side of them.
You're talking about abandoned trailers that are static in some farm field with some kind of message on the side of them. No, those are non-compliance. No, we don't say that.
U.S.
Big boy.
One last question. The history of when MoDOT became liable for financing removal or relocation of billboards. When did billboards become a business entity, just like a gas station or a business that we eliminate?
Well, I don't know the exact question, but the answer to that question is, I'm sorry. I'm sure we could find out the answer for you, but it has to do with a lot of the outdoor advertising standards, and MoDOT's responsibility has to do with federal highways.
These standards come down through federal requirements?
Yes, sir.
And while you were on the commission, I believe, was MoDOT pushing this issue back then as well?
Yes, it's been on the radar screen for quite a while.
But MoDOT has been pursuing this to assist them in future endeavors?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Senator. Madam President, thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the pending motion from the senator from Saline? Seeing none, Senator, you are recognized to close on adoption of the Senate substitute.
I close.
Senator from Saline has moved for the adoption of Senate substitute for Senate Bill 607. All those of the opinion that that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate substitute is adopted. Senator from Saline.
Madam President, I now move that Senate Bill 607 be declared perfected and ordered printed.
You've heard the motion from the senator from Saline. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from Saline has moved that Senate substitute for Senate Bill 607 be declared perfected and ordered printed. All those of the opinion that that motion shall prevail say aye. Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Madam President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of Senate Concurrent Resolutions. Senate Concurrent Resolution 21.
Senate Concurrent Resolution number 21. Senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that we bring up Senate Concurrent Resolution 21,
You've
the body
the
for consideration.
From the senator from Johnson, all those of the opinion that that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill's before the body. Senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Madam President. I assume now that I would move for the adoption of the Senate Concurrent Resolution 21.
I believe that a motion is in order.
Okay. I will make that motion. Senate Concurrent Resolution 21 deals with making our country more energy independent. It deals with a Keystone XL pipeline that has been proposed to come from Canada through the Midwest and then eventually end up down in the southern states of our country. What this is to encourage our federal delegation as well as the administration that the Keystone XL pipeline is a good project, that it will mean jobs in our state, it will have less dependence on foreign oil, and will do all it possibly can to help our economy. Would be glad to take any questions, or if not, I renew my motion.
Senator from Johnson has moved for the adoption of Senate Concurrent Resolution number 21. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 8th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
I wish to inquire the senator from Johnson.
Senator from Johnson, do you yield?
I do.
He yields. Proceed.
Senator, could you give us an update on, at the national level, where this stands?
I will do my best. And,
okay.
And of course, what we're trying to do is to send a message to our federal delegation, our U.S. Congress people, our U.S. senators, as well as the federal administration. Where it stands right now is currently there already is a Keystone pipeline that comes from Canada through the Midwest, in fact, even through northern Missouri that then goes through Illinois. There is some that goes down through Oklahoma. But the problem is we don't have the capacity. I mean, we could be able to do a lot more refining of oil if we had a larger capacity, if we had another pipe to do that. And I think there are other states that are also doing this. I believe at least 11 have sent a similar message to Washington that this is not a time to turn our back on alternatives for where we're getting our oil from.
Yeah, absolutely, and right now, as gas prices continue to go up, and they probably will all the way through the summer, this is another way that we could use this pipeline to potentially bring more oil through our state and create. How many jobs do you think this would create?
Well, according to some studies, over 10,000 jobs would be needed to do that. So, and I see the senator from the 13th with a thumbs up back there. So, so you're exactly right. So it would help decrease our dependence on foreign oil, plus creation of a lot of American jobs. Union jobs, I'm sure, would be a part of that. So that's a two thumbs up back there from the senator from the 13th.
Yeah, but our president has basically come out against this pipeline through the United States, right?
That is correct.
So it's disappointing, and it's disappointing where we're at this point. I wish our president and the federal delegation would move this along at a rapid pace because of the jobs that it would create and the infrastructure and the demand that we currently have in this country on oil. I appreciate you bringing this resolution. I won't hold it up. I think this is about jobs, and I think all too often we spend time talking about things that aren't about jobs and affect our communities, and this is a bill that definitely promotes the ability to create jobs in our country. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the pending motion? Senator from the 14th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
I would like to inquire of the senator from the 4th.
Senator from the 4th, do you yield for inquiry?
I do.
He yields. Proceed.
Much for the inquiry, and thank you, Madam. This has been a really political topic, a hot topic, actually.
This is a hot topic.
And I haven't been paying too much attention, but some, indeed. And I guess one of the concerns I have is about safety. Now, I did hear that former President Clinton supports the Keystone Pipeline on one of the news shows this weekend. But, you know, there is a show that I watched, and some folks from the CDC that I spoke to some years ago who are talking about the next earthquake that we're going to have here in Missouri. And I think the last one, it was in 1811, 1812, and it was like 8.2 or 8.3 on the Richter scale.
Made the river go backwards.
Pardon?
It made the Mississippi River flow backwards.
And there were bells that were ringing in the northeast. So I don't know, will these pipelines be underground or above ground, do you know?
I would assume it would be underground.
Okay, so now there's a lot more infrastructure that we have now than what we had in 1811 or 1812. And I guess, what, a week or two ago, there was a 4.7 earthquake that was in along the New Madrid fault line.
I believe that's correct, yeah.
So when you talk about the difference between a 4.7 and an 8.3, I mean, there's some big differences there.
That's a big difference. When you start to get to the higher numbers, just one more number is a lot more shaken, yeah.
Now, when I was in, I was in Puerto Rico in November of last year, and we had an earthquake nearly every single day. And it scared me to death because I wasn't accustomed to that. I go every single year, and we didn't have this earthquake. What I'm concerned about, if these pipelines break, what would happen with, I guess, the crude oil or whatever's inside of it? What would happen if there was a disaster?
It spills on the ground. I think one broke probably 10 years ago, just outside of Columbia. It took them years to clean that up.
And so the contamination alone would be devastating to wildlife and all other kinds of things, too, don't you think?
That's correct. It takes a long time for the area of the spill to recover.
So even when we had that oil spill, I guess in the Gulf of Mexico, Louisiana and some of those southern states, they experienced a lot of burden with their wildlife, and a lot of businesses were, ended up having to close and all of that. And I think BP is still paying for it.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, I just saw a thing in the paper where they're still settling lawsuits for people that have gotten sick off that spill. And actually, spill out in the ocean's a little bit easier because the water, you know, obviously the oil floats and then it evaporates. It actually gets up in the atmosphere. But what it does is it follows the beaches, and down in that part of the country, you know, that's their livelihood. So that's why they're so protective of it.
So, you know, this is my first opportunity to stand up and speak on behalf of my tree huggers in my district. And I'm quite excited about that because, you know, rarely do I have this opportunity, and wanting to talk on their behalf. They know way more than what I know in terms of how soil would be contaminated, and it would completely change everything. But again, I think about some of our natural disasters that will be happening. I mean, it's not if, it's when it happens, and what this pipeline is basically going to do. I mean, it's devastating. How much more money is our federal government and our state government going to have to pay for that kind of disaster? That specific kind of disaster.
And this pipeline, just so we're all on the same page, this pipeline goes from Canada all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico. This goes, part of it's already in place, but the northern and the southern sections aren't. So what this pipeline is going to do is make, it's going to traverse the whole country. And while we're on that point, the senator from the 31st said this is good. This can help alleviate our dependence on foreign oil. But you know, Canada's foreign. Canada's a different country.
Yeah, that is true.
So I don't know where we get our alleviate the foreign oil thing.
That's true. I guess it's the North American thing. Now, so I'm just real sensitive to this earthquake thing. In fact, you know, for a while, my best friend Kenny, he's currently in South Carolina, but he used to live in California, and I told him, I'm sorry, I'm never going to go visit you because there will be an earthquake when I get there. And so I did go visit him once, and there was no earthquake, but they're accustomed to hearing earthquakes or feeling earthquakes. And, you know, we're not, but now we're getting a little bit used to it because we're in a different day.
Just had one recently, too, I think.
Pardon?
We just felt an earthquake recently, too, I think.
Yeah, it was a 4.7. That's the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, that was, how long ago was that?
It was in the last 2 weeks. I want to say last week, but it was in the last 2 weeks.
That's what I thought.
And I just don't recall. But in any case,
Senator from Johnson, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you. I ask that this bill be laid over.
The bill will be laid on the informal. Senator, from Johnson, I believe the correct motion is for you to withdraw your motion for adoption of the Senate concurrent resolution.
Madam President, you are right. Since this is a Senate concurrent resolution, I will ask that it be withdrawn. Is that right? Or be sent back?
No.
Withdrawn.
It'll be withdrawn.
Your motion will be withdrawn. Thank you, Senator. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Madam President. Would you see if there are messages from the House? If there are, would you please have those read?
There are. Would you please read the messages?
Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 572, Emergency Clause Defeated. Respectfully submitted, Daniel Adam Crumless, Chief Clerk.
Senator from Stoddard, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Madam President. I have a request. Would you please refer the gubernatorial appointments appearing on pages 404 and 405 of the Senate Journal for Tuesday, March 6th of 2012 to the Committee on Gubernatorial Appointments?
They will be so referred.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Madam President. Without objection, Senator, the order of business of reports of standing committees.
Reports of standing committees. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Madam President. Your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics has a report.
Send it forward. Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Madam President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 635, begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Respectfully, Senator Dempsey, Chairman.
Further reports of standing committees? Senator from the 23rd. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Madam President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
Announcements. Senator from the 18th.
Announcement. Your Committee on Agriculture, Food Production, and Natural Resources will be meeting in SCR 1 upon adjournment.
Thank you, Senator. Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Madam President. Your Committee of Jobs and Economic Development will meet this day, 12 noon, in the Senate lounge.
Thank you, Senator. Further announcements? Seeing none. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Madam President. No further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand adjourned until 3 p.m. this day. Stand in recess until 3 p.m. this day.
Heard the motion of the Senator from the 23rd. All those in favor of that motion say aye. Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate will stand in recess until 3 p.m. this day.